Thank you all for joining the Latin GP call on the 21st of May 2020. In the call, we have Bill, Mariana, Dennis, Hassan, Max, and Petinan. Over to you, Mariana.
Okay, I've seen that there are some investigation about small letter Latin small letter I and Latin small letter dotless I, but I'm not sure what could be the conclusions of all these investigations. So do you feel that we can conclude it now, or we need some more work to put in it? I'm a little bit confused about this topic. So Petinan, please show us the documents we have now, and let's try to see where we are now with this problem. It took us a lot of time to find a way, and we shall see. Okay. I cannot discuss this document at all. I will ask you please to help me, or to help us all, to find a way through this problem, because it seems that there is still some topics which are not clear, and I'm not quite sure what should be done. Please. Probably Dennis and Mats, you are the most, the best informed about this topic. And please, Mats, go on.
Well, the original assumption was that given a Turkish locale, the handling of capital I dot with dot and also dotless capital I would be different from the non-Turkish locale. And that would mean that if you use a capitalized version of the domain name in the address bar, then you would get something else in a Turkish locale than in a non-Turkish locale. But I think that what Petinan has got, and also my investigation, does not support that assumption. It seems like also in a Turkish locale, downcasing is done in the same way as in a non-Turkish locale. Thank you.
Thank you, Matt. So, does it mean that we have no further problem with this? That we can make some conclusion based on the investigation you have done and people from Istanbul and so on? Could we propose something, Matt? Please.
Yes, I think that we can.
Okay.
And I think that we can disregard the special handling of I and dotless I in Turkish locale, because it does not seem to apply to the web browser.
Okay. So could we now conclude this topic? Sorry, I'm not very deeply emerged in this topic, but I want to hear from you. Do we have enough material that we can make a conclusion and propose something and say something about it? And who could do it? That's my question. No, I don't see. I see no hands.
So just want to add to Matt, and I think what Matt found, and basically it's one behavior, right? Matt, I think if put simply, there is only one downcase behavior regardless of locale setting. that's what you found in terms of the dotted I.
Yeah, that's that. When I looked at Peeknan's data and looked at my data, it's consistent, and the downcasing of dotted capital I is done in the same way as outside and inside Turkish locale.
Right, and so that will put that aside for a moment, right? Because I don't think it would occur to us to add a sequence of I and dot above into the repertoire. That would not make sense. And I think I'm in the right direction there. So, but putting that aside, what's the case of dotless I or the regular, when you input uppercase dotless I into the browser and the downcase is going to be also is the same behavior. So the capital I, right? The capital I is downcase to a regular Latin I in both local settings. Is that what you found as well?
Yes.
So what we see, what we have in front of our screen is the behavior, regardless of locale. So I think we have evidence that points to that direction, right? This is going to be a consistent behavior regardless of locale setting. When you input, lowercase letters, that I think that's pretty straightforward because the browser doesn't do anything with lowercase letters. They just do the transformation to an A level. There's that. When the input is an uppercase, there's a downcase process, and we see the transformation there. The first case, right, it's a sequence of the I and dot above. The other one, the downcase process will output a label equivalent to a lowercase input ZIL, right, in the first table. So now that we have the behavior, right, the complete picture of the behavior of uppercase, uppercase and downcase, do we still want a variant relationship between the I and the dotless I because of how the capital I is downcase?
Well, if I may, if we...
I'm just trying to get us into what's right. The problem that we're solving for, right? And I think that's what I'm getting into.
Right. So given that there's a not special treatment of this downcasing in different locales, then we're not talking about different locales anymore. We are maybe talking about downcasing. And then we have the specialty of a dotted capital I that is downcased to a sequence. Okay, so if we consider this, then the question is, why haven't we looked at other downcasing situations in the repertoire? I mean, from the very beginning, it has been forbidden to look at the uppercase. So if we look at the uppercase now and look at downcasing here, we should maybe go back and see other specialties of downcasing that should be considered. For example, there are at least one case where two different lowercase code points have a homoglyphic uppercase in our repertoire. And that's another thing that could be considered, but we have been, say, forbidden to look at the uppercase. So I don't know why we should look at the uppercase in this case. Thank you.
Thank you, Mats. Bill, please.
Yes. It is my opinion that not looking at uppercase was a serious mistake. I might go so far as to say a stupid mistake. However, that's the mandate that we were given, and I think at this point it's not productive to go back to the IP and try and fight that. So I think Mats is right. We should just set it aside in this case as well. Thank you.
Any other opinion?
May I come in?
Please, Bettina.
Yes, I just wanted to ask, when you say the result of downcasing is not relevant to the locale and refer to my resource, you refer it to the Excel output or the one in the email?
In the email, I don't think that the Excel is contradicting that. It is in partly because downcasing of the capital dotted I was downcased to a I without the dot above, as far as I could see.
Right. Okay. Understand. Thank
but you. The browser data that you sent, I think, and was, as far as I could see, was consistent with my finding. Even though in some cases they had U labeled display, in other cases A labeled, but that's not relevant. I mean, that doesn't make any difference.
Okay, thank you. I guess
but
for
please,
this case.
Sir, but please display that the data from Turkey.
From the email, sir. Just give me a moment. Okay, hope you can see. It's very small. Sorry, let me try again.
I think there was one of the files in the... Yeah, this one here.
Okay.
Did we get that? Oh, yes, have I? No, got it.
That was sent in email.
Yes, it's in the attachment.
So we see that with the capital dotted I, we get we get an IDN label, which Ian Turkish. Okay, that's it should have been TR Turkish, I think. TR. Otherwise, it's not the language is English.
Right. So I guess this is checked on the command line. So perhaps we still need to test. I have to find more to get the machine with TR underscore TR.
So what I did was firing up a separate user on a Linux laptop. And I set the Turkish, complete Turkish setting for that user. And then I restarted the user and then I started Firefox and Chromium and tested that also on the command line. So the EN TR, it means English in Turkey. It should rather be Turkish in Turkey as a TR underscore TR. That's the Turkish language in Turkey, because the locale setting is not only language, it's also about how data is written and currency and decimal separator and other things.
Sure.
But it's a combination of language and country. So there are several underscore TR for other languages like EN, English, but it should be the Turkish TR underscore TR to be the correct test. And the Windows, I guess it seems to, it could be correct. The iPhone is a Turkish iPhone.
I guess on the iPhone it would be in US, because this was test for on iCan iPhone.
Okay.
Yeah, actually, so the first round I have a test in the Excel file. I'm not sure is that relevant to see, but that one is definitely the TR underscore TR. But it was the case that I have test before I received the full test case. So it's like one time favor and I couldn't find that person to do the bigger test anymore. But if you want to see the test result with that in Excel, then I can show it as well. But I'm not entirely sure if that's relevant.
I think that we are mostly focused on the behavior of a browser, it's not irrelevant, the behavior in Excel. So if right. You want to display that too, so
yeah, so I guess I can try to find someone to test on TR underscore TR locale further, and maybe we can go back and discuss next time.
It should be a computer in Turkish. That's the safest to say.
Yes.
My Linux computer was was in Turkish. Everything was in Turkish when I tested it.
Maybe I can also show the one just from Turkish and just quickly to see what's happened. Oops. Can you see the whole screen?
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, so on top is ENUS and on the below is TRTR. So this is the Turkish in Turkish. And it seems like if we started from capital I without the dot and use the lowercase, just the function in Excel, if you're using it Turkish, then it will be lower to the dotless I. But if you use like US locale, it's come down to I with the dot. And for example, even though I'm trying the lowercase here, when I'm open the Turkish Excel in my machine, which is US, it cannot generate this dotless I lowercase. So
What you show there in Turkish locale is the seems to be the correct behavior for a
Turkish
in a Turkish setting, so to say.
Right. Yeah. So I guess let me try to find more machines to test the behavior for browsers, and maybe we can come back to the result again.
Right, because this only shows that that computer had the ability to behave in the correct way according to the Turkish locale. Was that a Mac computer or what was it? Windows computer?
I don't have the information. So I'll come back later with more of this detail.
Because that computer is interesting then to test the behavior of Firefox and Chrome.
Is it the computer or is it the application that is applying a different logic?
Well, I mean, it's... it could be both. I mean, it comes down to the libraries, of course. So it depends on what libraries they use. But often you have a global setting of the OS or the global setting for the user to select the locale. I don't know how Windows and Mac OS work, but in Linux, it's per user. Every user has the possibility of selecting his or her locale. And then it would be displayed in that way.
Mm.
So there are libraries that read the setting, but the application can ignore it. So of course it's up to the application. It can decide and no, we don't care about locale settings. And I think it's likely that browsers have concluded, no, we don't want the Turkish behavior in the address bar, because that would convert an ASCII label to IDN and an IDN label to ASCII. And that is not the
that might have.
And I mean, given that IDN is the penetration is not very high, and IDN is fairly new. We only had IDN working for like 12 years or something. And we have had 20 years or 30 years of internet before. So I think it's quite likely that the browser makers have been reluctant to let the Turkish behavior slip into the address bar conversion.
Yeah, I agree. I think that might have been the motivation. I mean, the DNS exact match framework, you don't want to have deal with duality of locales and, you know, that changing environments, etc.
Right.
So then may I suggest perhaps we can move to the next topic first and come back when we have more data next week?
Yeah, I suppose so. It is the good proposal, Bettina, and yes, it seems that this topic is not ripe enough to make any conclusions, so we can move to further topics in the agenda. Please, Bettina, go on. And that's your part. You will drive us through this, please.
Okay, thank you. So the next part is just to revisit what you have been discussed, and I just want to confirm and finalize the report. So the first one is the InScript variance analysis sheet. I'm not sure, do I have to show or you already review? And maybe if you don't have any comments, we can just close and move on, or maybe we can review as well. How would you like to do?
I'm sorry, I didn't get it. I mean, if we should go through step by step, if there are any questions, then we should see this.
Okay, sure.
I think.
Oops. Okay, can you see it? All right. So I'll just go through the documents. So on the tab A, all the conclusions is exactly the same as the second round of voting, 5 of 7. So we have 3 pairs for variance. Is there any comments, question? Otherwise, I'll move on.
Fine to me.
Okay, thank you. And then tab E, we have one result, which is not exactly with the vote. So the second round of vote, we say there is only one variant, which is E with Breve and E with Caron. But when we discuss the consistency of the diacritic, so Macron and the tilde of other character, which is A, I, O, U, G, N, is defined as variants. So the GP take a look and then decided maybe E, the only one which is not in the group, should be made variant as well. So the final decision is variant.
Fine with me.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you. And then the next one, the tab I, for this one, every decision is the same as the 5 of 7 vote. So we have dotless I with iota, I, normal I, and I with the hook above, and the tilde and Macron. Any comments?
fine with me.
Yeah, we thank you. Okay, and then the O. In the O, we have a few discrepancy. The difference are in the Vietnamese set. So basically, from the vote 5 of 7, we have made this O with multiple diacritic as variants. But when accompany the IP comments that these are used like equally in Vietnamese, and Vietnamese can distinguish this, so we decided, the GP decided not make them variants. Okay.
Fine with me.
Thank you. And then the U. In the U, all is the same as 5 out of 7 vote. So is the Grave and Huckabuff, Tilda and Macron, Breve and Macron, and the Horn and Grave, and Horn and Huckabuff. Any comment?
Fine with me.
Okay.
Thank you. And then the last tab, all the consonants. So for this, most of them are the same as 5 out of 7 fold, except the N. So in N with the dot above and acute is similar to the E case earlier. So the similar case with this acute and dot above happened for C and N and Z and Z. So basically, GP review and decided N should also be made variants in the set.
Peter, the comment, the note on the right seemed to be okay.
Yes, maybe it was.
Maybe if you pull it right, make it wider so you can fit it in. Okay. Well, I thought of the other way.
Okay. All right. So if there is no comments, then we can close this. Bill, please go ahead.
Could you look at the letter I, please? And do we have letter I compared to I with acute? Because it seems to me that that also is a case where we have a dot above and then acute, and for consistency, we should perhaps include that one as well.
Can you elaborate? What?
Okay, we were just looking at C, Z, and N with a dot above. Compared to with an acute above, and we decided that those were variants, correct? And so here is another case with something with a dot above versus with an acute, and it seems to me for consistency we should do the same here. Am I clear what I'm talking about?
Yes.
Okay.
So we're talking about the consonants. You said Z, C,
yeah, with the,
and N.
Yes. We're talking about a dot above versus an acute above. And this seems to me is the same thing. It's a dot above and an acute above.
So can you bring up the consonants in question? Where are the consonants? It's here, it's N. And Z. And was it one more?
C, I believe.
Yes, but yes. Maybe just to close the earlier, like to not confuse the decision, may I suggest maybe we just confirm the previous decision first? And if we want to discuss the I and I with the acute, then we do it separately. Would it be possible?
I think that's a good suggestion. So we take that as a separate issue to discuss. So there's the I with I versus I acute to discuss.
Sure. So I'll make it in the discussion list, because maybe I would like to also check, perhaps we have discussed this earlier as well. So let me prepare some data and I add that as the discussion point next time in the queue.
Okay. And also it's relevant to see what indirect variant that we get in that way.
Sure, sure. Okay, is there any other point on this for the previous decision? And otherwise I can confirm and then move to the next topic.
Yes, please.
Okay, thank you. This. Okay, so for the next one, this is D5.5.1 is about sharp S. It's not really about the sharp S and double S anymore, but this is about mapping the double S to the S with diacritic below. So let me pull up the file. So basically the question is, if the underlining is no longer relevant, then some of this transitivity mapping with the double S with the diacritic might have to be removed. Okay, I hope you can see the file. So at the end of the sharp S and double S analysis, before it was the placeholder about this mapping the transitivity of double S and S. So we just want to confirm, remove the part. I have Bill Hans. Is that new or old? Bill, please.
If I'm understanding what you had written there, yes, I think you're correct that should be deleted.
Okay, thank you.
But is this really about transitivity?
Yeah, the IP earlier suggests that if we make a S with below diacritic become variance, then a set of transitivity mapping needs to be done, and they suggest in a separate document, which is become one of the appendix. So let me show that as well. And in the meantime, we have Bill and Dennis in the queue. Bill, please, I'll pull up the file.
Yeah, just to add, right? So because of our previous version or the version that we presented to the IP, the S double, the sharp S double S variant set, and because of the transitivity relationships, we ended up with a 200 plus set of variant relationships. And I think what they want us to look at is, you know, look at very hard as to whether all those variant relationships are warranted, or can we break that set or do something different.
I would say since we have decided that a letter with diacritics below is will not be a variant of the letter without diacritics below, I think it's a moot point in this case. They simply all of those transitivity doesn't make, no longer makes any of those combinations variant, so it ceases to be a problem.
Right, okay, thank you. So in appendix D 0.5.1, I mark as confirm delete. Let me just put here. And that will be relevant to appendix E, which is list all this combination. Is gone anyways, but it lists all 300 something pairs if they are made variants. So appendix E will be gone. May I have a confirmation on this?
All of the pairs that involve diacritics below certainly are gone. I haven't looked through the whole list to see if there were any other variants of the letter S, but all of the ones which are just diacritics below, yes, those are gone.
Okay. Sure. All right. Thank you. But I guess this appendix E is specially... okay. So,
I don't understand I don't understand here. It says source 7373, and then it looks like it's diacritics below. How is this supposed to be read?
Oh, this one? Yeah. This one comes from the word function spell check. So the line below is just pointing out this is spelling wrong. It's not part of the document.
Okay,
so I understand that all of this is the result of the below diacritics. But I will check and remove all with the below diacritics. If it's not, then those will remain, and maybe I come back for confirmations.
So line 5, what isn't that is not diacritic below. What is it? I don't.
No, it's basically SS and the sharp S. So right. This one is already captured in the main part, in the appendix D 5.1. Yeah. Okay, so what about I mark?
I suggest you write the year too. You never know.
Such a pessimist, Matt.
Optimistic. Okay, I understand that is everything in the table, but let me mark this first. Okay, so this is about that. Then let's go to the next one. Okay, so the 0.5.2 is the dotless I that we're still in discussion. Then the 0.6, the underlining process. So in the whole section, because it's not relevant anymore, so I guess we can remove the section but add something in conclusion in the main document, 6.6.1. So let me open these two. I hope it is big enough to read. So in 6.6 is the other consideration for validation. Sorry, yes.
We're still seeing the other file.
Oh, okay.
Maybe you can minimize this one and then share.
Okay. Hope you can see now.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
All right. So 6.6 is the other consideration for variant analysis, and underlining is one of the topic. Basically, you already written something, and we can still use the appendix D6 for the data analyzed, which is this set of data. However, I think we need some conclusion to explain that this is no longer relevant, and so GP decided not to include in the analysis. So I suggest we need some kind of conclusion here. So I guess I ask for confirmation in two things. First, I'll just keep the appendix D6. I think we not throw away the analyzed data. So I added this tag. Would it be okay to confirm that appendix D will be used in the document and refer to from here? Can I take silence as a yes?
No, I'm sorry. I didn't get it. It's some kind of explanation, I guess, is required. We have seen that underlying does confuse, but but the conclusion why we don't think it's relevant for the construction of the variant set.
Yes, right. So that's my second question. Then how would GP like to have the conclusions? You want me try to propose something, or any of the members want to take this one?
Well, it's a considerable piece of text, I think, that is needed to be written.
Right. Mariana, please go ahead.
Yeah, we spent a lot of time analyzing, underlining, then testing browsers and whatever we have done. After that, we concluded that we shall not make any variants because of underlining, but all these materials should be presented. I mean, all our analysis should be presented. That's my opinion. Should be presented somewhere in appendix, whatever the name of appendix is, everything what we have done. And just, we need someone to say a few simple sentences what we have done about underlining, because it was explicitly, we have been explicitly asked from IP to give our opinion about underlining. I think I remember it correctly. So we need a volunteer now who will write our conclusion. Otherwise, I will write it and you will criticize it. I will write it just as I said, that we have investigating everything, what we have done, and that our conclusion is that underlining is not a cause for producing a variance, and all our findings could be seen in appendix, whatever number is.
I don't say that I'm a volunteer. I want to comment. I think that, I mean, we have spent quite a lot of time on this topic, and so I think it will require a considerable piece of text to explain the issue. Explain the method and our conclusion on the data, and also explain why we have come to the conclusion that we should not create a number of variants. So it's not just a few sentences, because then the readers will not understand it. And IP will not understand it. We have to make sure that they understand the reasoning, the arguments.
Okay, but
so I guess that we should start with some and just an ad hoc document just to write this text and then copy that into the main document. Some back and forth. I could try to start, but really we need to work on it all of us, because we have spent so much effort on this, and when we display the data, the readers will come to the first thought of, I mean, of course, this is confusing and etc.
Oh, Mats, thank you very much for your offer. To start with the document, yes, I agree completely with you that we have to make a special piece, a special part of the document addressing this issue and trying to explain everything you just said. And please, I want to ask the other people from the community, from the GP, to help us to produce the good explanation what we have done, because we really spent at least half of a year doing this. Thank you much for this. Please start to write document as soon as possible, and I'll help as much as I can, and so, I hope the other members will help too.
So can this be in Google Docs, because only three of us are have access to the Microsoft document, as far as I can see.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, it can be Google Docs, because it is not the final document. It is just something, a very draft one, and it will be polished. And after that, we can put this in the final report.
Yes.
Yeah. That will be nice. That will be good. Thank you much for this. Mm. Thank you. So, Pitinan, please, you can proceed with the next item.
Okay. All right. So the next topic is the Appendix D7.
Sorry, Pitinan, sorry. I haven't seen. It is 1 minute. Yeah, it is just a full hour. I mean, it is, we spent all our time for today, so we cannot start anything else. That's my mistake. I didn't see what time is it. So we shall proceed next Thursday again, when we stopped now. And is there anything else which could be raised now, which is worth mentioning now? Or I think... No, I see no hands, so I will close this meeting for today. And I want to thank you all for participating in this meeting. Thank you, Pitinan, you especially, because you are doing a great job now for us. And let's hear each other next week. So I'm closing the meeting for today, and have good rest of the day, and all the best to you. So bye, and hear you next Thursday again.
Goodbye.
We made good progress today.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
What are you saying, bye. Bill?
I said we made good progress today.
Yeah. Today it was very good. Yeah, I'm very satisfied. That's good. Thank you. Mm. Bye all, and hear you next time.